Storytel presents Nemesis by Margit Sandemore, part 7 in the Legend of the Ice People series, narrated by me, Mianna Buring. Once upon a time, many centuries ago, Tengel the Evil went into the wilderness because he wanted to sell his soul to the devil. He became the ancestor of the Ice People. Tengel had been promised power and wealth on condition that one of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil and do evil deeds. These descendants would be easy to recognize because of their yellow cat's eyes and magical powers. And one day a person with the greatest supernatural powers ever would be born. The curse would not be lifted until the spot was found where Tengel had buried the pot which he had used to prepare the magic brew which would summon the devil. This is what the legend says. Only nobody knows whether it is true. But in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which was why they called him Tengel the Good. This legend is about his family, or perhaps it is mostly about the women in his family. Chapter 1. When King Christian passed away, his children faced difficult times. That is, his children from his morganatic marriage to Kirsten Munk did, since they couldn't inherit the privileges of royalty. The king had, however, tried to provide for his daughters by marrying them off to men whom he had relied on, the bigwigs of the realm. He had promised that his eldest daughter, Anna Christiane, would marry Franz Rantzau, whom he had promoted to Lord Chamberlain. They were never married because both passed away at a very young age. The second daughter, the unpleasant Sophie Elizabeth, was to marry Christian von Pentz, governor and prefect. He also served as what could be called Denmark's foreign minister, had such a title existed at the time. Leonora Christina was given away to the most prestigious and ambitious of them all, Corfitz Ulfeldt, who was by now Lord Chamberlain and the highest civil servant in the realm, so Leonora Christina became the first lady of the realm. Elizabeth Augusta was given away to Hans Lindenov, who, as time went by, turned out to be a mere non-entity. Christiane was luckier. She was given away to Hannibal Sehested, who became a successful governor in Norway. And Hedvig was given away to Ebbe Ulfeldt, vassal of the island of Bornholm. All the sisters considered themselves amongst the finest in Denmark, but then their half-brother Frederick III acceded to the throne with Queen Sophie Amalie, and Frederick implemented a thorough purge. The first one to go was Christian von Pentz. He had fallen out with Frederick when the latter was a young prince, and when he became king, he sacked von Pentz and banned him from showing up at court. Then it was Ebbe Ulfeldt's turn. They investigated how he had administered his task as a vassal. It turned out that he bullied the peasants severely, so he was dismissed. On top of all of these insults, none of Kirsten Munk's daughters were allowed to call themselves duchesses anymore. They were also denied the right to drive into the castle courtyard in a carriage, because this was a privilege which was only granted to the first ladies of the realm. The daughters fumed, and so did Kirsten Munk. Leonora Christina probably suffered the biggest offence. First of all, she was married to Corfitz Ulfeldt, who was still struggling secretly with a new king as to who was the de facto ruler of the realm. Secondly, there was a ruthless dispute between Leonora Christina and the young Queen Sophie Amalie of Brunswick as to who was the first lady of the realm. That bitter struggle lasted right up until their death. There was much change during the new king's reign. The Council of State wanted Hannibal Sehested removed as governor of Norway. He had amassed a great wealth, 1/16th of all Norwegian goods, and when he was exposed for fraud, the king had no choice but to strip him of his title. This put an end to Hannibal Sehested's career for the time being. But Corfitz Ulfeldt was the one who was truly a thorn.